Welcome to our Spiritual Spotlight series, where we explore the vast and mysterious world of spirituality. Whether you're seeking guidance on your spiritual journey, interested in learning more about different spiritual practices and beliefs, or simply looking for inspiration to deepen your connection with the divine, then this is a show just for you. Join us as we delve into topics such as mindfulness, meditation, manifestation, energy healing, and much more. Our aim is to provide a safe and inclusive space for all listeners to explore their spirituality and connect with like-minded individuals. So grab a cup of tea, get comfortable, and let's journey together on the path of spiritual awakening. Hello, everyone. Welcome to their Spiritual Spotlight series. Today, I'm joined by Sarin Silva. She is a Fortune 500 business executive and author who has launched over 25 well-known brands, some of which are household names, which is fascinating. She is also a medium, intuitive healer, Reiki master, and certified social emotional coach. Thank you so much for coming on the Spiritual Spotlight series. I am so excited you're here today.
Thanks, Rachel. Glad to be here.
You have a very diverse background. So your background encompasses psychic abilities, energy healing, Reiki mastery, and holistic coaching. How do you find the synergy between these modalities that enhance your ability to guide individuals towards a balanced and spiritually fulfilling life?
They're really all used together. So when I'm coaching someone, I may use one skill over another. So for example, I was working with a CEO last week and she was having a lot of tension like around her neck. And I said, you know, what is it that you're not saying? Right. And kind of tapping into the body and the physical sort of somatics. So I will pull on those different tools when we need them. And then, you know, for social emotional, I actually run an assessment with folks and we look at different characteristics of how they show up at work, but I will blend those in a business context, which is really fun and different, I think, versus the, so, you know, where do you want to go and what do you want to be and how do you want to move from this to that? It's like, what is the emotional state of the individual? And then what is blocking them from getting to that next level that they want?
Right. Now, let me ask you this. So you're psychic and you're a medium and you're intuitive and you are also a third generation. Did you kind of, when you were born, immersed completely in this arena, always intuitive, always a psychic, or is it something that just happened?
I think I was not aware of the fact that I had intuitive abilities until I was about 42. So, I kind of a traumatic upbringing. So I was an adult by the time I was five. And I think that hypervigilance that you have when you're in a traumatic household made me always on and kind of always looking for signals. And then in the business world, I used it to work on strategies to grow businesses. And I didn't realize that I was pulling from an intuitive place. And then I fell into energy work, and then the energy work led to the intuition, then the intuition work led to the mediumship. It all kind of sandwiched. And then I ran into one of my cousins. I was traveling and I had relatives overseas, and we were sitting at a cafe in London having lunch. And I don't see her that often. I've probably seen her five times in my entire life. She's a wonderful person, but we're just really far apart. And she said, well, you know, grandma was a psychic, and you know, grandma's grandma was a psychic. And I was like, huh? You know, like record scratch, you know? And she was like, oh yeah, like they were like the town psychics. And I, on the island of Cyprus, which is the island of Aphrodite in Greek mythology. And so, you know, I was kind of blown away. And then I have a daughter and she's also highly intuitive. So we feel like there's definitely a genetic link.
Right. But didn't know it until later on.
And until I was an adult. Well into my adulthood. And then my daughter, when she was really little, would ask questions about things that were of an adult nature. And I realized she could see it and she could read it within my husband and I. And that was really funky, like raising a kid who's like, so, you know, did dad ever do this? And you're like, you're not supposed to know that stuff. I was like, no. She said, well, I think daddy did this. And I was like, oh boy. So she could always read things of like what was happening. Yeah.
So with you having a traumatic childhood, and I find it interesting, you had to be an adult by the time you were five. You and I share a similar experience with that. And it's always, I've always felt like I've had to be a parent and had to be an adult. With your daughter being intuitive, and at first, like, how did you then kind of nurture her blossoming and growing into that sense of being intuitive?
What's really beautiful about my daughter is that she was raised in we broke the chain and the cycle of the trauma with her. And so she doesn't know trauma in the way that it sounds I do.
Yeah.
So the ways I brought it out with her. So first I didn't really understand. She's highly sensitive to everything, her environment. And at first I was just like, well, this is exhausting having a child that is like so sensitive. You know, we just gave her more time in nature. Mm-hmm. She was in a Waldorf school, and that really brings out a different way of being that is kind of counter to this hustle, hustle, hustle. She's not a hustler. She's highly effective and really smart. She's 20 now. Mm-hmm. She worked her way up to an internship at Gucci her sophomore year in college.
That's amazing.
She knows how to work hard, but she understands that you don't have to live that way.
Right.
So anyways, that's a long-winded answer to your question, but she was just raised very differently. Mm-hmm. And by
what choice. A beautiful thing that you went from trauma to act, like you said, break the chain, which I think right now in this day of age, do you feel like a lot of people are really like, we're breaking a lot of like ancestor trauma and like we're putting a stop to, no, this is not how life needs to be.
I'm excited, as crazy as things are with climate and politics, et cetera. I'm very excited that people are standing up and we're looking at new ways of doing things.
Absolutely.
That we're stepping into this sort of age of the feminine and the divine feminine. And that's one of the reasons why I love being a coach, because I work primarily with women, and that's to empower them so that they can have those conversations and make the changes and stand up for what they want. That's very fulfilling and rewarding to be able to make that happen.
Absolutely. I'm just like sitting here, like it is interesting and fascinating to see children now and young adults and how they're like, no, we don't have to be in this hustle and toxic, and we can live a life of flow and ease. And if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. I have a 14-year-old son. And even just today, you know, he's headbutting against the school system. He's like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to do this. So we had to meet with school, and like, it's just, I'm like, look, he's going to get kicked out of your class. Like, I don't know what to tell you. The kid's not doing it.
The younger generation doesn't understand the way we do things the way they've always been done.
Right.
They're like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't want to do that.
And I appreciate the fact that they're bucking up against it. And, you know, they're giving a voice to something new. Like you said, the divine feminine, and, you know, the patriarchy is kind of falling down, and, you know, women, and it's not maybe a women, it's more of that feminine energy is starting to rise. I find that interesting. So with energy healing and Reiki, they're powerful tools for promoting emotional well-being and self-healing. Yeah. How did these modalities complement your psychic abilities in providing a comprehensive approach to holistic transformation?
So when I'm coaching someone, I'll give you an example of a woman that I coached recently. She came over to my house. I invited her over here for the coaching session. She's local, because usually I do a lot of the coaching over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I sensed intuitively that she was really blocked. And so I did Reiki work on her before we did the coaching session.
Yeah.
So we could clear whatever blocks were happening, and then we could bring voice to them afterwards. Because sometimes people are so blocked energetically that they can't access their emotions, or they can't access anything. They're just locked like a piece of wood. So sometimes to bring the energy in and to kind of break up some of that and doing that hands-on healing. And what's so great about it is it's not invasive.
Right.
So I brought her here. It's a very natural environment. I did the work. Then we went outside and did the coaching session outside, so she could kind of be nurtured by nature. And relaxed so that we could get to the work that needed to be done.
Right.
Stuff that's holding her up. So that's how I use them, how I use the Reiki to help people drop into their bodies, really.
Right. Do you have a lot of clients, and when they're first coming to you, you find that their energetic body, like you said, is gunked up and it's blocked?
Oh, yeah.
They can't tap in. They probably feel like they have no idea why they're feeling the way they're feeling.
Sometimes they don't even know, they're unconscious to the fact that they're blocked. So I was working with a woman a while ago, and I said to her, like, feel into your body, like feel into the chair, like feel the ground underneath her feet. And she said, I've never felt anything below my neck.
What?
It was just existed in this box of like, and a lot of people, and it's not a criticism at all. I think it's a cultural and a societal thing, right. But people are very disembodied.
Yes.
And I think technology is part of that. And, you know, I've marketed technology in my old life, so it's not a horrible thing, but everything in balance. Right. So, but I think she's just like, I can't ask, when you ask me to sense my body, I can't sense it.
Were you able to guide her? Now she can sense her body. How does she like talk about her body now? Like, and how she feels?
She doesn't talk a lot about her body still, but we were able to kind of get into the belly area and look at what is the fear and what's holding her back. And so I think that has helped a lot. Sometimes people drop into their body. Everybody has a different kind of sense. I have some clients that are so in-tuned and attuned that it's like a light switch and they're like, whoa. And then I have other people where, and it depends on how they were raised, like what they were taught, like the environment that they grew up in. But for this woman, I think a breakthrough, I would say, was the fact that she could sense more down in her gut area and then realize she was holding a lot there.
Right.
So what I do now is I really try to bring in the somatic and the energy tools into the business of what they're doing. So if they're in a board meeting or if they're leading something, it's like, okay, feel your feet, take a breath. And everyone's always like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But then once they start doing it, they're like, the confidence kind of starts to build. Right.
Do you find that you primarily work with like, it sounds like CEOs, like really high functioning, not maybe high functioning, but really high powered individuals that are in the corporate arena?
Yeah, I've worked with women from Apple, Genentech, Discord, Airbnb, a number of companies. And we just, you know, the intuition, the energy work is really used to just move them to that next place.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a starting point to really get into, like you said, the deep work of being like, you know, the social emotional coach of really, okay, let's get to the, we got to clear out this gunk and let's get to the nitty gritty.
And yes, and it's really hard for some people. Like I had a woman, I said casually after talking to her for a little bit, I was like, we kind of need to crack you open and get inside a little bit to do this work. And she started crying. Like she was terrified at the idea of going inside.
Yeah.
And so in that case, we just go really slow.
Right.
Like I mean, have to meet everyone where they are.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about these high powered executives that are really managing, you know, so many different facets of a corporate environment that probably their personal, emotional, they don't even look at because you're just going. And then it's like, oh, wait.
Yeah. It's like dropping your body because they come to a place, I think, where they've achieved a lot and they want to get to the next level or they're unsatisfied in some way. And it's usually like, we got to go inside. We think we got to go outside and climb more.
Right.
It's like, we got to go inside and figure out what we really want.
But if you think about it, we're really not taught that. We're taught to excel, succeed, hit goals, keep moving, keep scaling. You know, as a society, we're not really taught the powers within, a lot of pieces within. I mean, we're not taught that.
Amen. 100%. I could not agree with you more. And I think there's huge opportunity for people's individuals and for us as a collective society to unlock that piece that's inside and that piece might hold some really great solutions for what's going on with the climate. Right. instead of looking out here, it's like, okay, well, what does your intuition say about the best way to handle this? Why don't we try that?
Absolutely.
If you're a scientist and you know things and you're tripping up and trying to find the next thing, go inside.
What is your soul telling you?
Exactly.
So let's shift a little bit to your mediumship work.
Yeah.
And that involves connecting with the living with the departed. And it can be a deeply meaningful endeavor. How has serving as a medium for over 12 years maybe shaped your understanding of the spiritual realm and the continuity of life beyond the physical?
No, these are great questions, Rachel. The mediumship is totally separate from the coaching. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a discrete offering.
Yeah.
And I would say I do a couple a month because they're pretty emotional for everybody. I can sense people's emotions. So when someone's going through something really hard, I can feel that.
Yeah.
So what do I know about that? I only know my own experience. So in my own experience, I see the world kind of as three planes, this physical plane that you and I are on,
right,
and the upper realm and then a lower realm. And I believe that we can move up and down these different realms, and all of us can access information from across the world. And I know you practice Akashic records, and so you understand that probably really well. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I don't really think of people as dead. And when I say that, people get really upset because they're like, well, Aunt so-and-so is not here anymore. So how could you say that they're not here? And I went to the cemetery and I buried them. And but their energy is typically, when I'm reading these people, I can see them doing something in the next realm. So for example, I read somebody's uncle and I was like, oh, you know, I see him in a wood shop and he's tinkering and he's doing this and he's hanging out with this person. And they were like, that's what he used to do here. So, you know, and I can sometimes assume people are stuck and they haven't ascended.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get people who want me to read people who passed away and it hasn't been long enough.
Yeah.
So the soul, typically what I've felt needs time. Some people go up really fast, but usually those are people who are older. Maybe they were chronically ill and they mm-hmm. really wanted to go.
Yeah.
But then people who have, you know, it was like a surprise death, like maybe like a car accident, or they had cancer and they were young and they didn't want to go at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can feel them kind of hanging on. Suicides, drug addictions. Those people tend to get a little stuck between the realms. So sometimes I'll work to move them. Hopefully I did justice in answering your question.
You did. And I love the fact that you brought up, like, for me, I agree with you. I think death is just a doorway. Like, I think their energetic consciousness is still with us. And like you said, they're just in a different realm and anyone can access them, communicate with them. Maybe it's a different way of communication. Maybe it's an energy exchange, but mm-hmm. I like that you do that. That's very interesting. You said you feel everything and, you know, that's leading into our empath and you have a book, You Empath You. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Yeah. It was during COVID. I met a lot of really interesting people and it was in a healer's circle. And online, and someone had an idea for a book, and they approached this women-owned publishing company, and we all, 15 of us, supplied like our best healing tips, tricks, and tools for dealing with being sensitive empaths. Like I mentioned, my daughter, like many of us are very sensitive. And we don't have tools. Like you were saying, we're not taught these things. We're taught to achieve, achieve, achieve. That doesn't work for everybody. Or if it does work for us and we're empaths like myself, it's challenging. I get very tired very easily because a lot of energy gets put out. So the book is really a guide for people who know they're sensitive and want, I don't know, 30 different ways to go about releasing and healing some of that when they've been overstressed.
Yeah. I mean, being like you said, you know, a lot of us healers are empaths, you know, first and foremost, and that is this energy that kind of comes through us that we're channeling. It can be exhausting. What mm-hmm. are maybe some of your, I would say, spiritual hygiene practices that you've implemented to help you not feel as depleted at times?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, sometimes if I have a really intense phone call, for me, I have to go into water. So I'll go take a quick shower. If it's particularly intensive and I have more time, I will go in the bath and I'll do Epsom salts. If people are in my house and they're there for a long time and the energy in the house feels very heavy and thick, I have to sage it. I have to open windows. There are a lot of crystals in the house to kind of block certain frequencies and protect the house. I love people. I'm very extroverted. And at the same time, they make me very tired, which makes me sad, actually, because if I had my way, I'd be with people 24/7. So like after I have like 2 hours of back-to-back calls, sometimes I have to go like literally wash off the person. Yeah. I also do disconnection. If I'm doing readings, I'll do a golden cord and a cord cutting exercise to really make sure that everybody takes their stuff home.
Absolutely. I find that interesting that you are an extroverted empath. I think you were the first extroverted empath I have ever met. And that is fascinating. You like to socialize and talk to people and be outgoing, but you also get drained. But that's fascinating.
It's funny. It makes me really tired. And I'm like, but I really do love people.
Yeah.
So it's
but fun. You know that you have to disconnect. You may have to take an Epsom salt bath or physically wipe off your skin or sage your house. And how long does it take you to recharge? Like, does it depend on the experience?
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. If, you know, and the other thing, I don't know if you're like this too, but if I'm around somebody who has really heavy draining energy, I usually have to find a way to kind of gracefully like exit or shift or go talk to someone else or.
So before we got started, I think I shared with you that I run a doctor's office. I have sage spray in my office. I have a diffuser. I have crystals. I'm like, and then a lot of people gravitate to my office because they find it to be cleansing and healing. I'm like, can you please leave?
This is for me to stay clean.
I'm like, your energy is affecting my space.
And it's funny, you know, people will meet someone sometimes. They'll be like, I don't really like them and I don't know why. And what I would say is just honor your intuition. Obviously, you don't need to be rude and run away like a banshee, but, you know, but I'll be at the grocery store and I'll be like, I cannot stand next to this person. And my husband will be like, okay, you know.
I just find myself, I'm like, I love the fact that my son and I are very similar and he and I are both in and out. In and out. I'm like, let's go. Like it's in and out. Whereas my partner, he's very extroverted and outgoing. And I'm like, okay, the mayor of Stillwater, goodbye. Like it's just all that. I'm like, he'll find us somewhere else. And he'll get used to it after a while. So one of the things that you offer for anyone listening or anyone is you offer a 15-minute free clarity session. Can you tell me a little bit about what that clarity session is like for somebody who's looking to book to work with you?
Yeah. We'll sit down. I'll ask for your permission to like connect to you. Mm-hmm. I'll have you bring up the topic that you, whatever's on your mind, and then we'll go in together and I'll just intuitively read what's happening and what's around. I am a trained intuitive, which means I practice safe readings. My job is not to scare people so that they'll keep coming back to me. That's not how I work whatsoever. And I say that because I want people to know that make sure you're doing work with somebody who is operating from a place of integrity. You should always feel empowered after you have a clarity session with me. And if you like how the practice is working and you've gone off with a solution after the 15-minute call, great. You know, I'm happy to give that intuitive guidance and that wayfinding if someone's stuck. And if they want to work long-term on a goal, they can do a larger coaching session, but the 15-minute session really lets them try it on and see if it's for them.
I think that is perfect. And you brought up a really good point that anyone who's looking to work with a coach or an intuitive or a psychic or a medium, they should really practice discernment And I also like the fact that you're like, if you don't feel empowered after our session, then maybe, you know, I appreciate that, because I think for our work is that we should be, you know, maybe have the training wheels and we're helping people, but eventually they're going to have to ride the bike on their own.
Yep. 100%. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Cause you do see there are people out there that will keep on, oh no, no, keep going, keep going. It almost becomes like a codependent relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Yes.
So before we wrap up, because you are massively talented and certified in a lot of things and you have a way of looking at things that's refreshing, can you maybe give somebody who's going through a spiritual awakening, you know, because right now a lot of people are awakening and there's energy, any piece of advice you can give to somebody who maybe is experiencing this and feeling isolated or maybe alone or just overwhelmed?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially having walked a really difficult walk at the beginning of my life, I'd say, you know, trust that you are supported. That's the first thing. Trust. And if you're having a hard time trusting it, trust your physical body. If you get overwhelmed, run your feet across the floor and feel that you're being held. Lie on your back, you know, visualize that there's a cord connecting you down to the core of the earth, and that, you know, you are held by that. And that trust that what comes up for you and what your desires are, trust those. Mm. It's not always the external that has the answer. People want you to be a certain way, do a certain thing, and you want to do things a little different. That's okay. That's okay. Source is not, in my experience, Source is not here to just give pain and to punish. Source wants to give you a good journey and wants you to learn and grow and stretch and expand and to just trust that. I think that's the most important thing.
I love that piece of advice. And that is what we're going to end at. And I want to say thank you so much for coming on the Spiritual Spotlight series. I really appreciate you being here today and offering all of your knowledge. And thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you found the episode to be enlightening and insightful. Our goal is to create content that not only entertains, but also helps you grow spiritually and connect with your inner self. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, we would greatly appreciate if you could take a moment to like, subscribe, and write a review. Your feedback is incredibly valuable to us and helps us to improve the quality of our content and to reach a wider audience. We believe that by sharing knowledge and insights about spirituality, we can help inspire positive change and personal growth. So if you found our podcast to be meaningful and informative, we encourage you to share it with your friends and family. Thank you once again for your support and for joining us on this journey of self-discovery and spiritual growth. We look forward to sharing more episodes with you in the future.